In Barclay Mansion, even the dead are terrified. Something happened here. Something vicious and cruel. And no one got out alive. Not even you.
What's the matter? Don't you recognize yourself?
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the VR Chat Show. It's an absolute pleasure to have you here with us today. My name is Alex VR. I will be your host for today's episode, and we are joining you from inside Rec Room in a faithfully recreated Barclay Mansion from the game Wraith the Oblivion Afterlife. There it is, right there, Wraith the Oblivion Afterlife. And I am joined here by Eric Oldeldahl, the creative director of Wraith the Oblivion Afterlife. Hello, sir. Thank you for joining us, Eric.
Thank you so much for having me here. That's awesome. Absolutely. This is an awesome place.
It really is. We have an amazing squad of people that put these environments together. And I'd actually like to take a second to introduce them. Here in the room, we actually have Velp. He's the show editor, and he does animations here. We've got Noctado, who's an artist here. And then, of course, we'd also like to thank Misery and Mystery, the artists, and Justin, the artist, who are not here with us today. We also have OnDog here, who is an artist of the room as well. On the other couch, we have a couple of our favorite YouTuber friends. We've got Chris from Shughead Gaming over there. Hey, Chris. We've got Skiva, my friend and co-host of the Between Realities podcast. And we have Jason, the Livinator VR himself. Thank you all so much for joining us here today. Eric, I mentioned that the space is faithfully recreated. What do you think? Do you think it feels like being in there?
It really does. It really does. So this is the room we call the atrium in the game, and here behind us we have the memory palace, and I think I can see the shadow standing over there as well, which is pretty fucking awesome. And Cassandra is crawling around here somewhere as well. So it's really awesome.
It is awesome. They've done a great job. We love the artists here. We love the team at the VR Chat Show. But maybe we can take a second before we kind of dive into everything, just to get to know you a little bit better. Maybe you can tell us a little bit about yourself, maybe your history and kind of the history of fast travel games for those who are unfamiliar.
My name is Eric. I've been in game development since, coming up on 20 years now. Started out in early 2000s. And before Fast Travel, I spent 10 years at DICE in Stockholm doing Battlefields and Mirror's Edge Catalyst. I was design director on that. But in 2016, me and Christopher, a colleague from EA, and Oscar, we've worked together at EA, we founded Fast Travel Games and to only focus on VR. So we knew each other from way back. We were actually celebrating 5 years now as a studio, and we've grown from, three people to 30 plus right now, 31, I think, working at Fast Travel. Wraith the Oblivion Afterlife is our fourth game. So previously to this, we did Apex Construct, and then we did Curious Tale of the Stolen Pets, which is a really, really nice family-friendly game, not very similar to Afterlife. And then we did Budget Cuts 2, we co-developed with Neat Corporation, and now Afterlife, that was released a couple of months ago. So it's... things are going really
fantastic.
Well. It's fun.
Yeah, and congratulations. Fast Travel, in my opinion, is one of the best. I love your guys' titles. Apex Construct, I think, is the first game that on my quest I really had a chance to sink my teeth into it. And, I was just so impressed to have like a solid 6-hour campaign on the quest to play. Love Apex Construct. I think it's great. Also, The Curious Tale of the Stolen Pets, so approachable, so easy to just pick up. And before you know it, you've just like enjoyed so much time just interacting with these warm, comfortable environments, but all that said, what made you kind of shift going from these more like aesthetically pleasing, kind of warmer environments, especially coming from the Curious Tale, then shifting into this with Wraith, this creepiness?
Personally, I'm a lifelong horror fan. I, back in the 80s, I started, late 80s, I started collecting these crappy VHS tapes of Italian-American horror that was in Sweden really, really hard to get hold of. And I had this eventually ended up with like a collection of like 400, 500 movies. And I've always loved horror movies and then horror games, I think is it's a really, really cool genre. There's some really, really great horror games. So I've personally always wanted to make a horror game, but also focus on not necessarily the schlocky part of horror or the necessarily the super heavy, action heavy horror. So we were actually approached by some friends of us that work at Paradox. Paradox is another, well, quite a big studio and publisher, but they also have their offices like 2 minute walk from ours, so we know each other well. And they approached us and they asked us, you know, what would we think of you know, building a VR game set in the Wraith, the Oblivion world? And I, you know, I love that idea. I'm also a lifelong pen and paper RPG player. I still run two groups, game mastering in the evenings, and so that was like a perfect opportunity to head into mm-hmm. horror. And the cool thing with Wraith, the Oblivion, is that it is really it's a very, very dark world, and very and it gave us the opportunity to build a game that focuses quite a lot on the darker side of humanity and what people do to each other. And to me, that felt like a super interesting thing, but also really, really weird going from my role on Curious Tale was mainly, you know, working with the story narrative and the actors, and going from Curious Tale to Afterlife was like not super easy in the beginning.
Right. Would you say that that kind of approach with the story and the lore is the main thing that separates your game from some of the other horror games that are out there?
It's definitely one thing that separates it. I also think it's not that we're unique in the stealth horror genre in any way, but for VR, I feel hiding from the bad guys, hiding from the evil specters in our game, the sense of presence you get in VR in a horror scenario it's like unprecedented. And I think that thing and also, you know, that we chose early on to build something that is, it's kind of slow going at first, and it takes a while, but every minute you're in the game, it basically builds a mood, and it starts, you know, eventually, hopefully, definitely for some people who've played it, that you know, you reach a limit, and then suddenly the game is just really, really scary all the time, which that was something we wanted to get to, that you nice. Don't necessarily get in action-heavy horror.
You know, I did not realize this, but Wraith the Oblivion was actually a tabletop role-playing game. Am I correct?
Yeah, exactly. It was published in the 90s. I don't remember which year. It's a part of the World of Darkness. There's a couple of more other IPs in that world that are way more famous, like Vampire the Masquerade and Werewolf the Apocalypse, for instance. But I think there's like 7 IPs in the world. And I guess Wraith the Oblivion is kind of a cult favorite. But it allowed us, there was a really rich world to start building from, which is always great. When fast travel games, we always build, we spend a lot of time getting the world right. We think that is important when you play a VR game. We want players to believe in where they are and how the world works, and that goes for Afterlife, definitely goes for Apex Construct and Curious Tale as well, and Budget Cuts too.
one of the things that I absolutely love about VR is that a lot of times it really does feel like we're living in the future, you know, especially when we see these games and concepts and stories and ideas that are originally developed on a tabletop with pieces of plastic and cards now being brought to life in front of our eyes, just completely immersed in those worlds and experiences. I love it.
Yeah, it's awesome.
It is. So let's go ahead and hand this over, I think, to some of our guests in the audience who I know have joined us and have some questions for you, Eric. Let's throw it over, I think, to start off with Jason.
So I can watch horror movies all day long, not have trouble with that. But VR horror is a total different story for me. So what kind of advice would you give, or I don't know if exactly advice, but what words would you give a VR chicken shit like myself to entice me to play your game?
One thing that is very easy to do in VR and VR horror VR is the jump scare, the thing that really stresses you out short term. We've tried to stay away from that as much as possible. It's almost impossible in a VR, in a horror game, to not have any jump scares at all. But I think we've spent a lot of time and effort on immersing the player in the story as well. I think we have a really interesting narrative, and a narrative that I believe is kind of different from what you'd see in a lot of other horror movies. It's a much more personal story, I guess. There's no world to save or anything like that. It's really about Ed Miller, the photographer that you play, and him figuring out what the hell has happened, why is he dead, but also figuring out the history of what's happened in Barkley Mansion. Stuff you've reproduced lovely in here, like the poor hanged man, you know, who is he? What's his place here? Why is he here, etc. Or the broken woman that we see crawling around. And I think I would say that the narrative and the world building, I'm really proud of that. And I think you can enjoy it even if you are a bit chicken shit.
So appreciate it.
So translating that for you, Jason, is suck it up and put on your big boy pants. That's the answer.
There it is. And since he's got his big boy pants on, why don't we throw it over to Chris from Shughead Gaming?
Thanks for joining us today. I loved Apex Construct. That was the first VR game I played on the PSVR that I was like, here we go. Here we go. Here's the VR experience, the adventure that I wanted, my bow, my shield. Loved it. Absolutely loved it. As soon as I jumped into Wraith the Oblivion, I felt like you guys kind of had come home a little bit to some of those ideologies. Just back to your full locomotion with your full body and avatar, and then just existing in that world in a first person kind of, you know, adventure. Adventure for those who aren't big babies. I guess I was curious, you know, the locomotion in Afterlife is so good. It feels so polished. It feels like a studio on their fourth game. And I was kind of curious what lessons have been learned throughout these other games that you brought to Wraith the Oblivion Afterlife.
So Afterlife is the first game we've built where we intentionally said from the beginning that, you know, free locomotion is the default way to move in the world. But we also want, I mean, some people, you know, get motion sick in VR still. I think for Apex Construct was it's our first title, and I'm really happy you like it so much. Thank you so much for that. It was our first title. It was actually initially built as a teleport only title, and only after playtesting and basically getting feedback from community, from YouTubers and streamers, we realized, okay, we just need free locomotion in it. And to me, it worked, but it wasn't perfect. I think in Afterlife, we've worked a lot on getting it really smooth. Spent a lot of time on tons of different comfort options for those players that want that. And there's also like a projected avatar alternative locomotion method that you can use. But I really like how the pace, the speed you move in Afterlife, which some players think is very slow, and that's an intentional choice, an intentional design choice. We don't want you to run away too easily from the specters. But I just really liked how those all the details came together there, and also with the arms and the hands and how you physically interact with the world. I think we took that quite far relative to Apex Construct in how basically how your hands work and physically react to the world. But we couldn't have done that if we hadn't made earlier games, and also to be honest, made mistakes on earlier games. You learn from your mistakes, or you should anyway, I think. And I can't promise we won't make any mistakes in our upcoming titles that we're working on.
But thanks for that answer. That sounds exactly like kind of what I thought, because one of the things I've really appreciated about Fast Travel is that they do seem to be, you guys seem to be a developer that is watching what other people are doing and also learning from your mistakes. I think that's very obvious. And as someone who reviews VR games for a hobby that's almost a full-time job, it's just really nice to see games who do it right. I mean, walking into Wraith, I was like, oh, you know, I didn't think it was too slow. I was like, I just loved having the run option. I loved that the arms looked and they worked right, and walking through doors wasn't a hassle. I liked that you had almost that kind of gravity glove mechanic for swooping things up that were off tables. It just wasn't clunky, and it just made it so that you could play the story, and I appreciate that, so thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Yeah, you know, commenting on the speed of the movement, for me, it's like being trapped in a nightmare. You know, like you can't get away, and like you wish you could run faster, but you can't. Like it, yeah, like really, I mean, does it, like increase the intensity.
Yeah, and that was the intention, so I'm happy that it worked out that way then. Yeah.
Well, thanks for the nightmare, I guess. Skiva from Between Realities, what's up, dude?
Hey, how's it going? I'm Skiva from Return Realities, and I am also really scared of VR horror. Kind of there with Jason on that one. But you know what actually sounds scarier is developing a game like this for three platforms at the same time, like Rift, Steam, Quest. Did you run into for problems with that? Were there difficulties?
Yes, there are always difficulties. But I think we have this since we started out we've been in games for a long time, all three of us founders and a lot of people actually working at Fast Travel have a background at, you know, bigger studios like DICE, etc. And so we basically think multi-platform from day one. All our games are built to be multi-platform, so we don't necessarily build for one platform and then port or anything like that. But there's the usual problems with rendering being different on different platforms, of course. But the biggest design issue is actually all VR platforms have different controllers, and they all have their different strengths and weaknesses. And unifying that into a unifying all those controllers into, you know, a control scheme that works for several platforms, I think that is really tricky. And you forgot we've got PSVR as well, which with the Move controllers are very, very different as well from the Quests or the Vive controllers, for instance.
From anything.
Yeah.
Speaking of PSVR, yeah. do you have any info on any release date, possible release date or time frame for the PSVR release?
So we're still just talking about this year, but I hope we can say more soon. I can't today, I'm sorry.
Do you have like a favorite platform or a favorite controller?
All of the platforms in different ways. I do think that the touch controllers, Oculus touch controllers, are really, really nice. because they're really nice to hold. I like the analog sticks. They've got a lot of buttons, which is good when you make complex games like ours. But also, I mean, the index controllers are really cool with the finger tracking and stuff like that. They're all good in different ways, I'd say. Mm-hmm. If there's one thing I'm really interested in seeing for the PSVR2, you know, if there's one thing I'd like more of, regardless of platform, is basically better haptic support, force feedback. I think really good haptic support could be like the thing for VR.
Yeah.
So that's something I'm really looking forward to experimenting with.
Sounds great. Chris, what else do you have for us?
Well, I mean, I have a question for you, but I just want to ask, have you tried the DualSense controller for the PS5?
Yes, I have, and I love them.
Because, as soon as I heard Sony was implementing that, I was I'm done, because I love my PS5 controller. I mean, it's just a religious experience sometimes when it's done right. Question about Wraith for you was, being a kind of single-player campaign, story-based game, the question that I get all the time is kind of how long is the game? And I guess I was just wondering, like, what is your kind of take on that for, say, the average playthrough?
We do have some data on this, and also seen from play tests, of course, and stuff like that. And most people take between 7 to 10 hours to complete it. There's a lot of secrets and collectibles, or, you know, narrative pickups to find. So completionists, well, they of course take longer to complete the game. But between 7 to 10 hours is the usual playthrough time, and of course some people play through faster as well.
And in response to your talking about how the game got a little bit scarier, for me, I found that was around that halfway mark there, where I started to notice that, like, my security blanket of light and stuff was being taken away from me.
Yeah, that was a fun playtesting. We had people on the team that just refused. So we managed to scare ourselves, which is always a good sign.
Unlike some people, I enjoyed it. Thank you for that.
Let's bounce it back to Skiva here for a minute.
Hey there, Skiva here. So I was kind of wondering, as far as the storyline of this game goes, was this primarily you, or was it a team of people that kind of put together how this game was going to pan out? Or was it a culmination of years of stories from the World of Darkness?
The story is completely original. None of the characters in the game existed in the World of Darkness before Afterlife. I wrote the story. I worked most of all on the team on the story, but for games, it's always a team effort. Specifically, a lot of Afterlife is about finding out about the history of the Barkley Mansion and the characters, the specters. The Hanged Man is a very specific one with a very tight connection to the house. And when you work with artists and programmers and everybody, you know, inputs what they think is good ideas. So I tried to listen to everyone on the team if a good idea doesn't really matter. If an idea is good, then it should get into the game. And we also had a great working relationship with the World of Darkness brand team at Paradox. They were really helpful in basically getting the details right. But the story is a completely original story created by us.
Awesome. Great, thanks.
Jason, the Livinator, how you doing, man?
Good. I gotta say, the spatial sound in that game was pretty amazing, pretty on point. I mean, you guys must have had, like, a good studio to record that in. Or even sound like sometimes you were, like, in an auditorium just because of the echo factor that you got in there. But
yeah.
It was a, who's responsible for that, or how hard was that to record?
At Fast Travel, we actually don't have an internal audio team yet, I'd have to say. So we usually work with a studio called Two Feathers. So they did the audio on Apex Construct. They did all the in-game audio except for the music in Curious Tale. And for Afterlife, they did all the audio. And Elvira, who's one of the, she's the composer of the music and a lot of the sound effects. She's actually also the voice of the Broken Woman. and they're a great team, and we're definitely going to work with them again. So they have a really good studio to record stuff in. Of course, during the pandemic, a lot of that stuff, you know, they didn't go there. So I'm actually not 100% sure how all the audio was produced. But I mean, they're magicians. So and I agree. I think the audio in Afterlife is just so good.
Mm-hmm. Do you guys want to expand on the story of Afterlife at all, or do you maybe think you would like to cover more of the World of Darkness stories or games?
I mean, I love the World of Darkness. I love the whole setting. I love vampires and werewolves, and they've got magicians, and I mean it's an amazing world. I'd love to do more into that. And in regards to Afterlife, I mean, we are, you know, it's not really a game that is built for, you know, an endless string of DLC or stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But I mean, we are talking about stuff, how to expand on it. And who knows? I mean, there's certainly a lot of stuff I'd like to investigate, and, you know, what happens to Ed Miller and what happens to the other characters in the game. Mm-hmm. But we'll see. Will that be basically... maybe in the future, I guess is my answer to that.
There it is. So, I mean, is there anything that's important about this game that we haven't really mentioned, or that's something that you wanted to express that we haven't had a chance to touch on yet?
No, I think I really just want to, you know, sing the praise of the team at Fast Travel, everybody who's worked on it. We've worked really hard. It's been a very special year to build games with everyone working from home, but I think they've done an amazing job, and I'm super, super proud of the game we released, and I really hope a lot of people get to experience it, even scaredy cats, because I think it's a game worth playing. I'm really proud of it.
Well, we absolutely agree. We absolutely say that it's a game worth playing. The game is Wraith, the Oblivion Afterlife from Fast Travel Games. Eric Odendahl, everybody, thank you so much for joining us today. It's been an absolute pleasure to chat with you.
Thank you so much for letting me be a guest here. And thank you again for this awesome environment. It is truly amazing. And yeah, it's been great.
Boom. Yay. Woo. Yay. There we go. We got
it. Thanks for joining us.